something historic happened on Friday that, believe it or not, has a direct connection to my message today. Because on Friday, June 15th, we got rain. No, I'm serious. It's a historic event. There hasn't been rain on June 15th for 85 years in the valley. It was a historic event. And then it continued on yesterday. Who all got rain yesterday? Yeah, it's an event around here when we get rain, isn't it? We all woke up yesterday and went, ooh, it's cloudy. Wow, we had our noses pushed up against the glass, watching the rain. It was exciting. It's not that way everywhere in the country. There are some places, they get lots of rain. In fact, at times, they get so much rain that the rivers will rise up and they'll come out over their banks and they'll hit flood stage. And all of a sudden now, you've got something which is pretty serious, actually. The destructive power of raging water going downstream. Thus, the connection with the message today. Let's take a look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 15, and there's a parenthetical note. It says, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The Jordan is in flood stage. Of all the times during the year that God could choose to have his people cross the Jordan and go into the promised land, he chooses harvest time when the Jordan is at flood stage. I'll say, normally the Jordan looks like this. Pretty calm, cross over that, doesn't look like much of a problem to me. But at flood stage, it looks closer to this. Now we've got a problem. In certain sections of the Jordan, it's over 100 yards wide and over 10 feet deep. So can you imagine, you're one of the Hebrews, you've moved, and now you're camped out next to the Jordan River at flood stage. So 24 hours a day, you hear the rushing water going by. And after 3 days, an officer from Joshua comes up and says, break camp. Tomorrow we're crossing the Jordan. Right, sure we are. No, he's serious. They know it's impossible. There's no way that they're going to cross the Jordan at flood stage except by the power and grace of God. You see, God was asking them to cross the Jordan because he was asking them to step out in faith. And throughout history, every time that God's people step out in faith and follow where God is leading, God's blessings flow and God does amazing things. But each time that they hold back, usually trouble follows that. So God is asking them to step out and cross the Jordan. We still have Jordans that we have to cross. There are times that God asks us to step out in faith, step out and follow him. Maybe at work you're being asked to do unethical, maybe even illegal things, but you need the job. You don't know what you're going to do. Maybe your neighbor is really hurting, and you want to reach out with them to the love of God, but you feel ill-equipped. You don't know what to say. You'll probably mess it up. You've got a friend that you need to have a hard conversation with, and you know that they need to hear what you have to say, but it's not going to go well, and it could ruin the relationship. There's all different kinds of Jordans that God may be calling you to cross, to step out in faith. So let's learn from Joshua and their crossing of the Jordan. What does it mean when God asks us to step out in faith and cross our Jordans? Well, the first thing it means this: you need to take a risk. I mean, that's how it is. You're going to have to take a risk because there's a chance of failure. Because if you step out in faith, that means you're stepping out into the unknown. It's not like there was a bridge going across the Jordan. And he says, okay, folks, we're going to cross the Jordan. Well, that's not faith. That's simply taking the bridge to the other side. But when there's no bridge, now you're stepping out in faith. Did Joshua hear God correctly? Did he really want him to cross right now? Is everything going to go all right? It's always taking a chance. You don't know how the conversation is going to go with your boss. You don't know how your neighbor is going to react. Inevitably, when we step out in faith, we're stepping out into the unknown. But that doesn't mean that we have to step out blindly. It doesn't mean that you go off tomorrow and you quit your job. It doesn't mean that on the spur of the moment you confront your friend. No, we don't have to step out blindly when God is leading us and asking us to. In fact, we should be prepared. We should be prepared intellectually and spiritually. Be prepared intellectually and spiritually because God has given us a mind, He's given us a brain, He's given us the ability to reason, to think things through, and we should do all of that. For instance, Joshua. God says to Joshua, Joshua, you're the man. You're going to lead the people over to the conquest of the promised land. So what's the first thing that Joshua does? Does he assemble the troops and march on over? No. The first thing he does, he sends over spies. He's doing his homework. What are we up against over there? What's it look like? How hard is this going to be? Where should we enter at? What's the best place? And then he receives the report back from the spies. So take a look at Joshua 2:24. The spies, and they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us. So the spies are saying that the people over there are scared to death of us. We went over and checked it out. So evidently, they've heard about this Hebrew nation that's been roaming around for 40 years. They've heard about their God and all the things that he's done, and nothing else, just the sheer mass number of them about to cross over into their land, and they're melting away with fear. Now, if I'm Joshua, I'm thinking to myself, God is giving us the land. He's not going to let a river stand between us. If he can prepare all these nations and make them cower in fear, then certainly God can take care of the river. You do your homework ahead of time, right? So if you're concluding that, you know what, you can no longer work for your boss, it's unethical, you just need to find a different job, you don't quit before you find the other job. You don't take a job at half or three quarters of the pay without looking at your budget. God isn't going to ask you to go bankrupt. He's given you a mind and he's given you reason. So if you really need to take a pay cut, then you crunch the numbers and you find out where you can cut. We can make it work. Now I'm going to step out and do what God is asking me to do. If you have to have a hard conversation, you don't do it on spur of the moment. Instead, you think through, how am I going to approach this friend? What am I going to say? When am I going to say it? Where am I going to say it? So that you have the best chance of it being received in love as your intention is. God has given us intellect and a brain to think things through. So be prepared intellectually. Be prepared spiritually. Make sure that you really are walking in line with what God wants you to do. Let's look at Joshua. Joshua verse 5 here says, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He says, get ready spiritually, people. Purify yourself, consecrate yourself, set yourself aside, spend time in prayer, meditate on the Word of God. These are the things that we should do. If God is calling us to step out in faith, we should constantly be in prayer. Is this really what you're asking me to do, God? Is this how you want me to approach it, God? You're going to look into His Word. Now, obviously, if His Word says, no, that's not what you should do, then you got it wrong. You do something else, right? But you're in the Word, you're preparing yourself spiritually. And then when you're convinced, no, God is calling me to step out and cross this Jordan, you've thought it through, you've prayed it through, then be bold. Be bold and step out with boldness, not with timidness. James put it this way. He's talking about prayer. He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Could you imagine how it would have went if Joshua was talking to his officers? All right, men, we're going to cross over the Jordan, and we're going to go and we're going to conquer the land over there. And I know the river is raging, and I think we stand a pretty good chance of getting across. I'd give us 60%. We're going to make it, right? Hey, nobody going to follow him, right? He'd have to be there with boldness, convinced God is giving us the land. Tomorrow, we cross. If we're going to step out in faith and we're convinced that this is where God wants to lead us, then we step out boldly. But that does mean we have to take the first step. We have to take the first step. We have to do more than just planning, because planning isn't enough. So many people get caught in this. You plan and plan and plan and plan and plan, and you check your list twice, and this is how it's going to work, but you never implement the plan. So you've thought it through, you're prepared intellectually, spiritually, but then you never do it. James, a few verses down, says this. He says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." You got to do more than just hear the word of God. You have to act on the word of God. You have to take that first step. And taking the first step, putting the plan into action, is scary. Putting the plan into action is scary, taking that first step. I think back to the priests who are going to be carrying the Ark of the Covenant. I imagine the scene when something like this. So I don't know how they chose who was going to carry the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, there's lots of priests, right? But I'm saying the guys that were chosen, my guess is the first reaction was, really? I get to carry the Ark of the Covenant? That's cool. That's an honor. All right, where are we going to carry it to? You see the raging river of death? That's where we're going to go. All right, now all of a sudden they're rethinking this and why they got chosen, right? I'm also thinking of the guy in front, not the guy in the back. Right? So the two guys up front, they got all of their regalia on, all their robes, they're trying to look sanctimonious, sanctified, right? Real religious, real confident. They're carrying it up, they get to the edge of the river, and I imagine them going like this. Right? Here's this raging river, right? But until he puts the toe in the water, nothing's happening. He can stand there all day long, and the river's going to keep raging. Until he takes the first step and puts his toe in the water, that's when God does amazing things. Take a look at what happens. We go back to Joshua. It says, "And as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the water, their toe just hit the water, the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away." And then if you scroll down, it says this, and says, "And all Israel passed over on dry ground." As soon as they got to the brink and their foot just touched the water, God does amazing things. And he opens up the Jordan, and they walk over on dry ground. At some point, you've got to take the step. You got to step out in faith. You got to make the appointment with the boss to have the talk. You got to reach out and invite the neighbor to coffee. You got to say to your friend, "Listen, we've got a serious discussion we need to have. Can we meet next week?" You got to put the plan into action. You got to take that first step. And then you got to take the time. You got to take the time so that God's plan can be played out. Don't give up easily. That's usually what happens. As soon as something wrong or we get just a little bit of pushback, then we throw in the towel and say, "I guess I wasn't supposed to do that." Well, I can tell you from my own experience, rarely if ever do things go exactly the way that I had them planned out. I don't know why. You think God would appreciate all the time and effort I put into planning this, but he always does it his way, right? But the moment you have a little bit of pushback, you don't throw in the towel and say, "I guess that isn't it." Now, mind you, if you run into roadblock after roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, then you're going to have to reassess. Maybe this isn't where God was leading me. But little setbacks and little roadblocks, if you're still moving forward and doors are opening up, right, that's God giving you the courage to keep stepping out and crossing over the Jordan. But you got to give time, right? You got to give it time so that God's plan unfolds. I always think of how many thousands of years was it between the first promise to Adam and Eve of a Savior until Jesus was born? Think of all the generations. Think of all the things that God put in place, all the people that God used. Some of them knew they were being used by God. Most of them didn't. But God was putting everything in place so that just right moment, Jesus could enter into the world. St. Paul put it this way. He wrote to the church at Galatia. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. At just the right moment, after thousands of years and generations, Jesus comes into our world. He lives for us. He dies for us. He rises up in victory, and he gives us a new life, a life that gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can step out in faith. To give it time as God's plan unfolds, as we feel convicted to step out it and cross that Jordan in front of us. We realize it means we're going to have to take a risk, but we're going to get prepared. We're going to do everything on our part so that we're doing it the best way possible. We're going to muster up all the courage we have. We're going to take that first step, and then we're going to give it time as God unfolds. And what we'll see is God still does amazing things. Amen. Would you please stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, sometimes you call upon us to cross our own Jordans, to step out and to follow you. We pray that you would give us the discernment to know what it is that you're calling us to do, and then give us the courage and the boldness to follow wherever you lead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.